This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another Mizzou Sports Podcast. My name is Eric Blum, breaking down Mizzou sports with you every week here on the show. Joining me, making his Mizzou Sports Podcast debut, is Gatehouse, Missouri's Chris Bowie. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Chris, why don't you introduce yourself to the people of podcast land? You know, what you're doing, how you've covered Mizzou, all that.
Well, I started with the Boonville Daily News, and I've been covering high school sports for them for several years. And, you know, Gatehouse Media, and of course, owns the Boonville Daily News and Columbia Tribune. So now I'm the Mizzou Olympic beat writer, covering football, soccer, volleyball, wrestling, and softball and baseball.
Yeah, Chris has been doing our midweek story every week here at the Tribune. Been doing, some of those have been on. This week was Tyree Gillespie. Last week was Khalil Oliver. A couple weeks ago,
Adam Sparks.
You did Adam Sparks. You did Tyler Beatty at one point.
Yeah.
You did a preview for South Carolina. And he's been doing kind of our sidebars for game days. Rashad Floyd did the offensive line. Can you remember some of the other ones you did, maybe?
Chris Turner.
Chris Turner as well.
Yeah. Talked to, of course, all the deep, David Gibbs, some of those guys, too. So.
You've lived in Missouri your entire life, right?
That's correct.
Memories kind of going forward. So you've been kind of paying, I guess, a longer attention to this team than I have. Favorite memories from Mizzou football, anything like that?
Oh, gosh. I don't want to tell everybody my age, but I remember the Pizarkowitz years, Leo Lewis, Andy Hill, who's now the special teams coach for Missouri. So I've been through the ups and the downs just like everybody else, but hopefully, the Tigers will get it going here soon.
So let me ask you this then. Who's the best quarterback, in your opinion, Mizzou has ever had? Is it Chase Daniel?
I don't think you could.
I said that, and I realized it's probably.
But
Chase
Daniel. I've always been a Brad Smith fan too, and they've had some great quarterbacks in the past too. Pizarkowitz, Colby Jones. So they've had some great quarterbacks too. So,
is there a favorite game you remember watching?
No, not really. I mean, I there's so many that I just can't remember all of them. I would say, even though they lost the Nebraska-Missouri game, with the kick in the end zone, that was a great game, even though Missouri lost. Another one was when Macklin opened the game up against Oklahoma with the touchdown, and they knocked off the Sooners that night. So that was probably one of my best games I've seen in Missouri play.
I guess we get back into, this year's team now. Overall thoughts, I know Kevin and I have been on here the past couple of weeks kind of talking about what we think of this year's team, but overall thoughts of this year's team, Chris?
Well, the thing that surprises me, and I thought about this coming over, is the secondary has been really good this year, and, I think they've just stepped it up. Last year they struggled a little bit. I think the offensive line, everybody expected them to be good. Kelly Bryant, of course, he's been a great asset to the team, but overall this team, offensively and defensively, I think the sky's the limit with the team.
And I know looking back, it looks kind of a little bit, far-fetched on, all three of our behalfs, Kevin, you and myself, but we picked the season. All three of us picked a win in Wyoming, but you picked the Tigers to have the best record of the three of us at that time. What was your belief then, and has that kind of changed with covering them live?
I think the Wyoming game, like everybody, I think that kind of threw everybody, a loop there. But, I see this team. I think Georgia's going to be tough. I thought South Carolina was a win. I still think Kentucky's a win. Tennessee, and a lot of people, favored Florida over Missouri later on in the season, and I still think that's a winnable game.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. And as I said with my appearance on Georgia on Monday, Florida looks kind of susceptible right now, watching them play my alma mater in Towson. And Towson should have scored at least three touchdowns on them. It just happened that some of the conditioning that an FCS team, as good as they can be, can't go through the level to an SEC school, and watching them kind of live, it becomes kind of obvious. If Missouri was in that situation, that would have been a win for them, just like when they won in the Swamp last year. So, yeah, it definitely seems like, and I don't want to be overly positive, because that's not how college football works. At the end of the day, there is a winner and a loser in every game. It just seems like this year more than any other, and it was the opposite way last year, that it seems just to be aligning that things could go Missouri's way. Yeah, it just seems like it could. Yes, the adversity is going to strike, and I probably still do think this team is going to end up 9-3 in some regard. I do still think that, because Georgia's most likely a loss, and we can talk about more of that coming up. Somewhere they get tripped up. It just seems like weird that with how many other games they have left to go, you know, not only this weekend with Troy, but Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, that all seven of those end up being wins. It just seems like a big statement to say with not too much proof behind it. Yes, it looked kind of. I said after the Wyoming loss, when they were 0-1, that 7-1 was still on the table. And yes, it still is 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later. So, yeah, well, maybe we'll get a little bit breaking down a little bit of what, you know, Troy has done. You know, we kind of asked Barry Odom on Tuesday, was there any familiarity kind of preparing, knowing that Neil Brown was Troy's coach last year, and you've already faced the Neil Brown team this year in West Virginia? And it seems like they're doing some different things down there in Troy with Chip Lindsey, the former Auburn OC, as their head coach. Just they have a really good quarterback in Caleb Barker, who's been starting for them for multiple years. But the thing that I can't get behind or can't get past is, how is this Troy defense going to stop Missouri? They put up 50 on Arkansas State, or Arkansas State put up 50 on them. And I have no problem saying that Missouri's offense is probably more talented than Arkansas State's.
Well, yeah, I think the big question this game is, you know, how's Missouri going to stop Troy? You know, they put up 50 points last week in a loss to Arkansas State, and over 500 yards. And, I don't know. I mean, you look at this game, you know, Wyoming's a good team. South Carolina, I think, is a little bit down from what people thought. And, you know, this could be one of Missouri's, you know, first tests of the season, just because of the fact of what Troy does offensively.
And I think they're going to read a little bit more about this on Saturday, but I think it can't be overlooked that Troy comes into this game with almost no expectations. At the end of the day, Missouri is expected to win this game by more than 3 touchdowns. If Troy comes in and just tries and throws a couple haymakers, some of them won't land, but what if one does?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But, again, I think the secondary is going to be tested, you know, just the fact that, you know, Troy can throw the ball. And, you know, like you said, Barker, the quarterback, you know, he's capable of, you know, putting the ball in the air. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, I think this will be a good test for Missouri going into the Ole Miss game the following week. The thing is that Missouri just can't look at this. You know, people say, well, this could be a trap game just because you got Ole Miss next week homecoming. So, you know, Missouri can't overlook Troy, because if you look in the past, Troy's knocked off some teams, you know, LSU, Nebraska in the past years. And, you know, they have also beat Missouri, you know, I think it was, 2004, 2002?
Yeah,
they knocked off 24-14, and I remember that game. And I never would have thought Missouri would have lost that game either, but, you know, it happened.
Yeah, as a part of my research for Saturday's section, I went back and looked, when's the last time Missouri lost 2 games in a season to a group of 5, or now group of 5 teams? And I went all the way back through Barry Odom's tenure and Gary Pinkel's, and it hasn't happened. So I stopped at 99, because usually Missouri, and it's rare for Missouri, for a school, to play 2 teams that are, you know, in the group of 5 by themselves, much less have that be 2 losses. Yes, there were some ugly losses that I found, like one to Middle Tennessee, one to Bowling Green that happened in the early 2000s that was pretty ugly, and obviously I found that Troy loss as well. But Missouri has not lost 2 games to a group of 5 team in a season. I think they lost to Navy at some point, and it would be a catastrophic loss for Barry Odom because of what happened in Wyoming. But yet we've seen this team kind of do more, and see this team kind of, you know, evolve from where they were in Wyoming. So if there's another huge setback with a loss to Troy, it's kind of like those 3 losses almost didn't mean anything, even though Missouri would still be in perfect contention, just like it is now, for, you know, an SEC title. And I think before we go on to say anything more, let's hear from our sponsors and let's take a quick break. We'll talk some basketball when we come back and maybe a little bit more football, but here is a quick word from our sponsors.
We would like to thank our sponsors for the Mizzou Sports Podcast. University of Missouri Healthcare. University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to be the official sponsor of MU Athletics. Blue Events. Let Blue create your perfect event. Their passion for food, service, and presentation ensures that you will have a seamless and memorable event, no matter the size. They will work with you to bring your vision to life. Phyllis Nichols, State Farm Insurance. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. And now back to our podcast.
Thank you again to our sponsors. We're back here with Chris Bowie from Gatehouse, Missouri. I'm going to ask him a couple questions here about Missouri football season, and then we'll get into some basketball recruiting at the end of this episode. All right, Chris, kind of putting you on the hot seat here. Who has been your surprise player from Missouri for the good side? Who surprised you the most in a good way to kind of be a leader on this team so far this season?
Well, I think Bolton's played really well so far this year. You know, their linebacking core, I think, in my opinion, along with Kel Garrett, has to be one of the top, I would say, 3, 4, 5 in the SEC, you know, so far. They played well. So Bolton's really surprised me. And, you know, I would look for him to step it up even further down the road when they start really playing teams like Georgia, you know, Florida, some of those good teams in the SEC East.
How about in the other way, unfortunately? Who has been a couple players that you expected more from at this point, if there is one, that maybe haven't done as much as you would have expected?
Well, I think Albert O., and maybe just because of the injuries, you know, he had earlier in the season, you know, with him being a one of the NFL top tight ends coming out next year. So I would expect him to, but I think he'll pick it up again toward the end of the season, you know, maybe when Missouri needs him the most.
Who's a player that we haven't heard much from, good, bad, or anything that you think can make a difference for this team kind of coming into the last 8 games of the year?
Well, I think there's several. I think, Nance, there's one. Tyler Beatty, I like to see more of. I mean, he had a great game in, the Wyoming game. I think he had a great game. I like to see him get a few more carries. Him and we'll see. I mean, but more than anything, I just think that, this team just needs to keep doing what they're doing, and I think wins will come.
Overall, the job Barry Odom has done from the sidelines, what grade would you give it?
I would say right now, I'd say a B. I think he's done a real good job. That Wyoming loss kind of hurts quite a bit, and we'll see down the road, if he can go into Georgia and knock them off. I mean, this guy gets an A++. But, right now I would say a B. I think he's done a great job. Keeping this team together, you know, with the bowl band, not knowing what's going to happen there. I think that, in the future, this guy can, maybe lead this team to, maybe what the fans thought he could do.
And then, we saw your early season prediction of where you thought this team could be. What do you think the team's record is going to be at the end of the day, at the end of the regular season right now? Is it still high? What is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, the Georgia game is the big game. I mean, if they can go into Georgia, and a lot of teams aren't, people aren't giving them a chance to win that game. And, it's going to be tough to win on the road against the number three team in the nation. If you can come away with their 10-point loss, 7-point loss, that would be great. A win would even be wonderful. But, I think this team can – I think they can finish 10-2. Earlier in the year, I thought 11-1, not counting that Wyoming loss. So that kind of, threw everybody for a loop. But I think they can go 10-2, like you said, 9-3.
Sounds good. And I think it's only fair when we have guests on the show, when they make their debut, I always ask them, going back to our tradition for our prep podcast last year, favorite place to eat in Columbia? What's your favorite place to eat in Columbia? You've never tried Booch's, which I think we're going to after we recorded this. But, favorite place you've tried so far, and it can't be Cheddar's.
What about Texas Roadhouse?
Favorite non-chain.
Man. Addison's?
Addison's is fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good one. All right. So before we end this episode, we'll talk about some basketball recruiting. Maybe touch on some football here at the end. But we teased Caleb Love's decision. The CBC guard had narrowed down to North Carolina and Missouri. As expected, he did pick North Carolina. I mean, you can't fault the kid for going to want to play under Roy Williams and playing probably for one of the top five programs in NCAA history with all the tradition down there in Chapel Hill. The only thing that was kind of interesting, and I don't blame Caleb Love for this, and I don't, but I pay more attention to it more than you know most people do, which is why I'm a reporter. But he said in an interview on Sunday that he was still torn, was 50-50, but then after he had made the decision, he told reporters in St. Louis that he made up his mind a week ago. Just a little bit interesting dynamic there. Probably shouldn't even mention that, but just that was interesting for me because it shows that how there's no second place trophies. There's no nothing like that. As good of a recruiting job as Konzo has done, and I think being there at the end with all the schools that are in the mix for Caleb Love is a good sign. It shows that there's still a lot of room to grow there. It shows that, you know, how far that Missouri has come since the days of Bradley Beal, where I think he picked up a Mizzou offer, but never even gave, you know, I don't even know who the coach was at the time. It was before Frank Haith. But it was after Norm Stewart, I could tell you that. You know, he didn't even give them a true look and went to Florida. But now, even looking back at, you know, how close they were to getting Caleb Love, I think it's a very good sign. You know, he's still an 18-year-old kid, just prone to make mistakes, you know, but his potential looks awfully, awfully good. You know, he still has a senior season at CBC to go, but, you know, from all the reports down in Chapel Hill, Cole Anthony, their Caleb Love of the 2019 class, looks like a one-and-done guy, going to be a top-five draft pick in next year's NBA draft. And then there's a spot that kind of opens for Caleb Love to kind of, you know, not take the reins, but be a major contributor at one of the biggest schools in America from day one. Well, you know, Chris, did you think they were getting Love? What kind of, what was your take on that whole thing?
I'm like everybody. I think 50-50 shot. I thought, you know, it'd been nice if he had come to Missouri, you know. But, you know, again, these are 17, 18-year-olds making a decision. And, you know, you got to look at North Carolina is North Carolina. It's like Duke is Duke. Kentucky's Kentucky. You know, Missouri, even when Norm Stewart was the coach, you know, we got great players. John Sundvold, Stepanovich, you know, Willie Smith. I mean, there were a lot of great Doug Smith, Derek Chivas back in the days had some great basketball players. And, you know, I think Missouri can compete with those teams. And, you know, and they've proven they can in the past. And, you know, I'd like to see them get back to that, you know, where they can compete, you know, in the top of the SEC and, you know, maybe even make a little bit of noise in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and fans kind of see, like, that there was top recruits coming here. They had that chance with the Porter brothers, and it's a hard comparison to make because, yes, their potential, both of them, looks good with how they've kind of been considered in the NBA and the little specks here and there they showed, but, you know, it's not like the opportunity is completely gone from Missouri. It would have been nice to kind of see where the program would be had Mike and Jonte both been incredibly healthy. But part of them coming here was having their dad on staff. But it also shows in the early stages of what Konzo's relationships and the inroads he's made. So we still got to keep, you got to be a realist. It's still year three here. John Calipari didn't turn Kentucky into an absolute juggernaut straight away, even though he did really well at UMass. Even Mike Krzyzewski didn't turn, you know, Duke into that, you know, straight away. He had to build it up. It's, you know, that's just how these things go. It's not an easy process. It's not a quick process. And I think if Missouri stays behind Konzo and gives him a chance at least for 2 to 3 more years, at the very least, probably closer to 5 to 10, to really build his base here. And I he's an East St. Louis guy. I think he, you know, this is a community, or this is a backdoor community to one he feels incredibly comfortable in. It could happen, you know. There's still chances it might not, but I feel judging Konzo as a recruiter at this point in his Missouri tenure is very premature.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at some point, he's got to start pulling in some of these players that, you know, that have gotten away. You know, if Missouri's going to make a run, you know, for the SEC title, and like I say, make a run in NCAA tournament. You know, somewhere down the road, you know, they've got to start pulling in some of these players.
And Konzo still has that chance in this class with Josh Christopher from Mayfair, California, kind of ranked even higher than Caleb Love, and Missouri is in his top five. He's the cousin of Nicodemus Christopher, their strength and conditioning coach for the men's basketball team. But he's actually going to take 6 official visits, even though he has a top five. I read actually a pretty cool article in The Atlantic, not The Athletic, The Atlantic from Jamel Hill earlier today, saying how he's taking and kind of wanted to take a official visit to Howard, in addition to the five schools in his top five, which were Arizona State, Michigan, UCLA, Kentucky, and Missouri. I believe that's the five of them. No, yeah, I believe those are the five. And then he's also going to Howard, the HBCU in Washington, D.C., kind of, you know, showing, you know, with people looking up to him and everything, and kind of, you know, paying tribute to his African American roots, absolutely, and you know, giving a little bit of love to a an HBCU that usually doesn't get a talent the level of, you know, a top 100 guy in the country. You know, those kids go to the kids that play on ESPN and CBS every night. Those go to the ones that can get them the best professional career. And not that they can't do it from HBCU, but if you look at the trend of where these college players are coming from, there's way more in the Power Six conferences, the Big Six conferences in college basketball, than in the SWAC or in the NEC or things like that. You know, just it was kind of a look at, you know, how that tide could change if one day a guy like a Josh Christopher or any one of these athletes, because if we're being honest, and we can talk about it kind of frankly, it's kind of a really serious discussion kind of out of nowhere, but a majority of the kids in the top 100 of basketball and for football really are of African-American descent. That's not an arguable point. If you look around Missouri practice, there are a ton of great kids, but they are of African-American descent. And, you know, just it was kind of looking into the future of what if one of them kind of went to a school like a Bethune-Cookman. You know, there are people like a Steve McNair who went to an Alcorn State. Those guys exist. Walter Payton went to an FCS school. Jerry Rice went to an FCS school. So, yeah, it was just an interesting article looking at that. So, the point being with the basketball recruiting that Konzo still has that chance in the 2020 class. If not, it'll have to wait until 2021. Missouri did pick up their first commit, though, of the 2020 class on Saturday in 7'3" center Jordan Wilmore from Georgia. A definite need for them, because there's a chance that the next year's roster, none of the three posts that Konzo has are going to be on the roster next year. If the NCAA denies the eligibility appeal for Axel Okongo, he gets 1 year and then he's done. Reed Nico is graduating, and then there's always the possibility that Jeremiah Tillman forgoes his senior season and goes to the NBA. So definite playing time available for some post players in Konzo's system. You know, a true center is really what they're looking for in the next couple of classes to kind of add some depth, because they're really, really stacked at the guard position. So yeah, that's kind of where everything stands. Thanks for guys listening this week. Any final thoughts here, Chris, before we go get the sliders at Booch's and have to stop by an ATM because they only accept cash?
Now I'm excited to go to Booch's. This will be my first trip, and you know, I'm excited about Saturday's game to see you know, Troy against Missouri. You know, I want to see, you know, if Missouri can stop this high-powered offense that Troy has. So that'll be exciting to see that.
Yeah, to give you a tiny bit of a preview, I think in our pick'em, Chris and I both picked Missouri to not only win, but win with the spread, which was 24, so that's more than three touchdowns. All right, well, Kevin usually has the outro here, which is for the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Until next time, I guess I'll say it for him. Until next time, thanks for listening to this week's Mizzou Sports Podcast.